Well, earlier you said that you have conflict. I asked you if you've had conflict, and just about everybody said that you had conflict. So today we're going to talk about conflict, and I'm going to ask you, do you want God's wisdom to help you deal with conflict? Because all of us know what it is to have conflict. Do you want God's wisdom to help you deal with conflict? We're in a series in the book of Joshua entitled Claiming God's Victory. Oh, the land had been conquered and brought under control. The individual tribes were given their portion of land as their inheritance. It was theirs to claim. Everything was going so well. God had been faithful. After 7.5 years of war, now the people are enjoying in a greater extent claiming the victory and the fullness of the inheritance that God had brought them. And while things were going so well, there arose a conflict. It was a conflict that was serious, almost brought the people to a civil war. And in this conflict, what God does is God shows us from these pages of Scripture that happened so long ago, He reveals to us His wisdom and how to deal with conflict. And so I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22, where this conflict is recorded for us in the Scriptures. All right, are you there? All right. I'll give you a moment to get there, and then we'll pray and ask God to speak to us about this really important subject as God reveals it to us here in Joshua chapter 22. Well, Lord, we are grateful to you. You are wise beyond our comprehension. And it's good for us to be able to come to you and asking for your help in every issue of life. And in your wisdom, as you were working in generations before, you are still working today to help us to find your wisdom in dealing with conflict. So, Holy Spirit, we're asking for you to speak to us in a very personal and powerful way in issues like this that are very personal and can be defeating, but they can also be times when you reveal yourself and give us victory. So really what we're asking, Holy Spirit, is that you would bring victory. Those who need to be reconciled to Christ and saved, those who may need to be reconciled to other people. And all of us, as we deal with conflict, help us, Lord, we pray. And so we ask you to do this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, Joshua chapter 22, then, where you've turned, tells us about the drama of conflict. Let's set the stage for this drama. In Numbers chapter 32, while the people were still on the other side of the Jordan in those wilderness wanderings, they had gone to the eastern side of the Jordan River. There they had conquered some territory. They had overcome some kings. And two and a half of the tribes come to Moses. They said to Moses, now, Moses, we love this land. We think this would be a great place for us to live. And the 2.5 tribes said, we would love it if you would allow us to have this land as our inheritance. Well, Moses stops and thinks for a minute and he says, well, I appreciate it, but I have a concern. My concern is that you will find your houses here and you'll build your lives here, but the rest of the people are going to go to the land that God had promised them. They're going to cross the Jordan River and they're going to fight for their land. And I'm afraid that what's going to happen is you're going to be living over here in your land and you're not going to help your fellow Israelites conquer the land that God had given them. My concern is it's going to cause division between each of us. And so they said, here's what we're going to do. How about if we make a covenant to you that when it comes time, we will cross the Jordan River with everybody else. We will fight the battles with them to bring the land under conquest. And then when it's all over, we will go back to our homes and we will set up our lives and enjoy the inheritance you give us, even as our fellow Israelites will enjoy the inheritance that you will give them. And Moses said, okay, if you're willing to do it, let's go with it. Well, now, it's many years later. The people had crossed over, as they promised. They crossed over Jordan with the rest of the people. And for 7.5 years, they've been fighting this battle to gain operational control of the land. Now the individual tracts of land were given out, the inheritance for each of the tribes to continue to conquer their inheritance, to enjoy the land and for their lives to go forward. And everything is going so well until Joshua chapter 22. Let's watch the scenes of this drama. In this drama, I'll give you a title for each of the scenes as we read them together. The first scene is entitled, Time to Go Home. We read about it in the first 9 chapters of the book of Joshua chapter 20, or first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 22. The Bible says, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days until this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land which of your possession, which Moses, a servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, a servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Well, then we go to the next scene. In the next scene, it's entitled, A Questionable Decision. Verse 10. And when they had come unto the borders of the Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, a great altar to see. And now we go to the next scene. The next scene is entitled Dealing with Disturbance. Because watch what happens on the other side of the Jordan, verse 13. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, into the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son. Excuse me, I think I'm reading wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a scene. Can you believe it? Can I give the fourth scene or third scene if you're keeping track? And if you were keeping track, I'm sorry, I messed you up. The third scene is, it's entitled Up in Arms, verse 11 and verse 12. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Well, then we get to the scene that I got to earlier, too early. The next scene is dealing with disturbance. You read about it from chapter 22, verse 13 through verse 20. I'll begin reading in verse 13. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest. And with him, 10 princes of each of the house, each chief of a house, each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was ahead of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And it came to pass, they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, "Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord? And that ye have builded an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord." Well, then we go to another scene. Scene 5 is setting the record straight. We read about it beginning in verse 21 of this account. "Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, 'The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth. And Israel, he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord to save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if it to offer thereupon burnt offerings or meat offerings, or if it offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord made Jordan a border between us and you, and ye children of Reuben and the children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, and not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him." And then we go to the next scene. And in the next scene, after all of this is played out before us, the next scene I've entitled Settling the Issue. We read about it beginning in verse 30. We'll read through verse 33. "When Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and the heads of thousands of Israel that were with him heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest said unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the children of Manasseh, 'This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord.'" And then there's one final scene. It's the last verse of the chapter. The final scene I've entitled, "Let's Make a Memory." Because verse 34 reads, "And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God." Now that's the drama of this conflict. And all of that is wonderful, but what's wonderful about this portion of Scripture is that it reveals to us how in our generation God wants to give us his wisdom to deal with conflict. Because if you want to claim God's victory, you're going to have to know what it means and find the grace of God and the power of God to overcome conflict, because you're going to have conflict. Just look around. Look at all these sinners all around you. You can probably take a good look to your left. You'll see one. You put enough sinners close enough together interacting with one another, there's going to be conflict. It's that way in any relationship. It's that way in a family, it's that way in your workplace, it's that way in your neighborhood, it's that way in a church, it's that everywhere you go, it's that way. So God has given us wonderful wisdom from these events to help us to deal with conflict. So God in this passage of Scripture then speaks to us about dealing with conflict. God's wisdom for dealing with conflicts. And what do you do when you have a conflict? Well, here's the first truth. Look out for landmines. Look out for landmines. Boy, if you happen to step on a landmine, you better look out, because things are going to blow up. And you know, whenever there is a conflict, there's potential for things to blow up. So you have to look out for some landmines. In fact, in this portion of Scripture, God tells us about a couple of landmines. When all of this is played out and the people of Israel on the west of Jordan saw what the people on the east of Jordan did with this altar Oh, they were up in arms. And watch what happens in verse 11. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. Now, wait a minute. Did you catch those words? They heard say. Do you know what the first landmine is? Watch out for this one. I hope you've not stepped on it, but chances are you have. Hearsay. Hearsay. What is hearsay? It's when you react on false assumptions rather than known facts. These people were ready to go to civil war. Civil war! And the basis of their action nearly to go to civil war was all based on hearsay. Have you ever been in a conflict when you didn't know the facts and you made assumptions? They thought the people had built this altar out of rebellion. In reality, they didn't build it out of rebellion at all. Boy, hearsay. Without knowing the facts, false assumptions. I was thinking about something that happened long, long ago. There's a wonderful man, he's a young man, very young man. He was in his 80s. And his wife had passed. And he met a wonderful lady. And he wanted to be married. So he was going to be married to this wonderful lady. His friend really didn't seem to be all that happy about it. So his friend sends him an email. And this man happened to talk to me, and he said, listen, my friend sent me this email. He's upset at me. And I think I'm just going to break off our friendship. These men had been friends for decades. Decades. And over one email, he's ready to break off a friendship. So I asked him, hey, have you talked to your friend? Well, no, I don't need to talk to him. I've got an email. I said, you know, before you break off a friendship that you've had for decades, it's been so meaningful, I would suggest you at least make a phone call and talk to your friend about it. And when you do, just report back. Tell me how it went. He made the phone call. He reported back. He had read into the email something his friend never intended at all. Ready to break off a relationship that he's had for decades without knowing the facts? Built on assumptions that are false? Well, how many of you know it's easy to step on that landmine? Boy, that's an easy one to step on. So be careful. Be careful. God is a God of truth. So before you make assumptions, find the truth. There's a really good guide, by the way, for this. You'll find it in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. You'll find that in the New Testament, it's affirmed as well. 1 Timothy 5:17, 2 Corinthians 13:1, Matthew 18:16, John 8:17. It's the principle of two or three witnesses. When you're in a conflict, you're trying to, it's not a bad thing to, if you can't bring that together, to maybe have some other people to help you to protect the truth. To keep each of us, because we all have a tendency to step on that landmine of hearsay, to protect us and protect others from being hurt. Because you'd better believe it hurts. Well, there's another landmine you have to watch out for that God reveals to us in this portion of Scripture. It's the, we read about it in verse 12. Look at your Bible again. When the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Here's the other landmine. Overreaction. Overreaction. Before they even knew the whole story, before they knew what was really going on, the tribes on the west side of the Jordan are ready and they're gathering for civil war. What happens when you overreact? You react on emotion rather than reason. Has anyone ever reacted on emotion rather than reason? Man, yeah. In our home, a number of years ago, we discovered a website that people in our home sometimes go to without ever logging on to the internet. It's called overreaction.com. And on occasion, when members of our family overreact, it's not a bad idea for us to say, just a little reminder, are we going to overreaction.com? Well, those are some landmines. Be careful. God, in His wisdom, has reminded us of these landmines. How many conflicts are worsened by overreaction and hearsay assumption? How many bad decisions are made worse by overreaction and hearsay? How many people make bad decisions because of overreaction and basing it on hearsay? So when you have a conflict, before you go any further, look out for landmines. Then God tells us something else. Analyze the concern. So you have to ask yourself, is this significant to confront or not? Is it that big of a deal or not? Well, you tell me. Look at verse 16 and tell me if you think it's that big of a deal. Chapter 22, verse 16. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is that a big deal or not? You better believe it is. The people on the west side of the Jordan saw this altar, and what they thought was, this is a dueling worship. This is a people that are dividing the nation, and this is going to lead to false worship. That's a big deal. So you ask yourself, well, is this big enough and significant enough that I need to confront it? And it's so easy to make a mountain out of a molehill. Who's made a mountain out of a molehill before? But my friend, it's just as easy to make a molehill out of something that's a mountain issue. You don't want to deal with it. And so, it's not that big of a deal. It may or may not be, but you have to be really wise and ask yourself, is the issue big enough to confront? And the issue of false worship and dividing a nation was so significant that the people on the west side of the Jordan, though it wasn't warranted at the time, they found out later, they were ready to go to war. It was that worthwhile. You may want to ask yourself another question when you analyze this concern. Are the facts clear? Well, what was clear in this case? What was clear, verse 19. Notwithstanding, the scripture saith, the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. What was clear? It was clear they built this big altar, so much so that it was noticeable across the river. So that was clear. Those facts were clear. And that is a problem. But what was not clear is that there was more to the story. And whenever they looked at the altar, they thought this was a matter, verse 19, of rebellion, when it wasn't. So make sure you get the facts. Then there's another really great question that you want to think about when you analyze a problem. Is this my problem? Is this my problem? This might be hard for us to accept, but sometimes I am the problem, and sometimes you are the problem. And before you point fingers at everybody else, and oh, how many of you are good at pointing fingers at everybody else? You're good at that? You wouldn't admit it anyway, because you're good. You're pointing fingers all around, but maybe before you get into any conflict, the first thing you need to do is to point at yourself and say, am I the problem? And I'm going to tell you, if you find yourself with conflicts in a lot of places, different wherever you are, you find yourself regularly with conflicts, maybe, I don't know, but maybe you are the problem. It's humbling. Humbling. But it's a question to ask yourself when you're in the middle of a conflict. And then something else that is a really, I think, helpful truth that is revealed here is, what is the general characterization of that individual? The general characterization of that individual. Let's say that, can I pick on the choir? I'll pick on the choir. I can pick on the choir because this isn't really a real problem, but I can pick on any of you if you want. I'll pick on the choir. We start rehearsal on time, 4:00. 4:00 on time. Now, our choir is tremendous. Usually, most of them are already there before 4:00, ready to go. They're ready to work. They're tremendous. Great attitudes. Want to grow as people, as musicians, serve us all. Man, they're ready to go. But let's say that there's somebody that every so often they sort of stray in a little late. Now, this is just not how we do it. We start on time. And they make a commitment to start and be there on time. Well, it happens every so often, but you watch this again, and okay. Now, what you could do is, it's 4:02, and here they come walking in. Say, now listen, we start at 4:00, you're late. Humiliate them in front of everybody. Really encouraging, really encouraging. What if this person is hardly ever late? Hardly ever. Usually is early. Would it be wise for me to jump down their throat when their general characterization is that they are on time, ready to go, faithful to this task? I mean, they were just late once, twice, maybe it happens. I mean, I don't know if you've ever known this or not, but if sometimes we have traffic on the interstate here. Maybe they got caught in traffic. You know, there might have just, things happen. So before you get all up in arms, what's the general characterization of the individual? For the people of East Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, for 7.5 years, they fulfilled the promise that was made a generation earlier. And they fought alongside their brothers and sisters in all this war for 7.5 years. Would you say that's a pretty good track record? That's pretty good. And now, with one act, the people on the west of Jordan are ready to go to civil war. Cheer about the little boy Johnny was in his Sunday school class. The church had a brand new pastor, and the new pastor wanted to go to visit the Sunday school classes. And he sits down in the class where Johnny is a part of the class. And the teacher says, "We're learning about Joshua." "Oh, how wonderful." And the pastor says, "Okay, boys and girls, who tore down the walls of Jericho?" And there's a little boy, Johnny, who is a real, well, he had a history of being a troublemaker. And Johnny raises his hand and he said, "Pastor, I didn't do it." "You didn't do it?" "No, I didn't do it." "Oh, well," he was a little flustered. "Oh, man." And so the pastor was flustered. He goes to the Sunday school superintendent. He says, "You know, I was in that class and Johnny, I asked who tore down the walls of Jericho and Johnny said I didn't do it. I wonder if Johnny did it. You know, I heard we have some problems with Johnny." And the Sunday school superintendent has a conversation. "Johnny, did you tear down the walls?" "No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it." Well, the Sunday school superintendent goes to the deacons and says, "We had a problem. Johnny says that he didn't tear down the walls of Jericho. We know he's had problems in the past." And one of the deacons said, "Well, you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to just go ahead and pay for the walls to be rebuilt." That didn't go as well as I'd hoped, but that's life. Your general characterization. And that'll work for you or against you, won't it? That'll work for you if you're generally characterized by qualities that are God-honoring and faithful and true. And what happens is, when you're generally characterized by this, people that are wise give you the benefit of the doubt. Now, foolish people sometimes will, in the moment, forget your general characterization and they'll launch an attack when they don't need to. But I'll tell you something else, though. If you have earned a reputation for a quality that is not a God-honoring quality, that will work against you. Because while someone that has a reputation of God-honoring qualities, that gives them leeway, the people that do not have that reputation, have earned a reputation otherwise, you won't get a lot of leeway. So when you're in a conflict, consider the general characterization of the other parties involved. So look for landmines when you have a conflict. Analyze the concern. Now, if as you analyze the concern, it warrants it, then you go to the next step, and that is investigate the concern. And when you investigate the concern, watch how the people of Israel deal with this conflict. The first thing you do then is you address the people that are involved. Look in your Bible, chapter 22, verse 15. "And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, and unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying..." Did you see what happens here? There was a group that went right to the people that were involved in the problem that could help bring the solution. Now stop for a minute. Would you watch that you don't talk to all kinds of people about the problem that have nothing to do with the solution? How many of you know that's what happens? More than it ought to, right? I talk to everybody about it except the people that are the problem and can't help with the solution. So the first thing they do before they go to war, they say, "We need to have a talk about this," and they go directly to the people, the leaders of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. So go to the persons that are involved. You know, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, go to the person. If you can't resolve it, get two or three others. Let's see what we can do. Deal with it. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24, you're going to go offer an offering to the Lord at the altar, and there's an issue that needs to be resolved. Leave it there. Go to that person. Go to the person. Now, most people probably don't like confrontation and conflict? How many of you are, you would say, you know, I'm that way. I don't really like conflict. That's the last thing I want to do. Now, there are other people that seem to like it. I don't know. It follows them everywhere, but it's really hard to do. But would you take God at his word and go talk to the person? If you cannot let it go, go to that person. And then when you go to the person, express your concern. And they were very clear about it. Verse 16, we read it. The whole congregation of the Lord says this: "What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord?" They expressed it very directly. Now, this is the problem as we see it. Question: did they yet have all the facts? Not yet. But at least when they came, they were very clear. This is the problem as we see it. Now, since most of us do not like confrontation, what happens is when we try to have these conversations, what happens is we get nervous about it. We're fearful how they're going to react. We just don't. It may turn worse. We're afraid. And so what we do is we dance all around. That's as much dancing as you're ever going to see out of me. And you dance all around the edges of it. And we never get to the issue. Can I give you a tip? Because I'm really good at dancing around the edges because I'm a coward. Can I give you a tip? Because it is difficult. Would you write down what you want to express, your concern? Write it down. For me, usually I'll put it on a 3x5 card in front of me. Because when I get all nervous and fearful and I find myself dancing all around it and not getting to the issue, I go back to my card and I read to keep me focused, to make sure I get to the issue. You might have conflicts. If you would just get to the issue instead of dancing all around it, you'd be surprised what would happen. Get to it. Then after you express your concern, then express the cause or the reason for the concern. And oh, they were said, "We're just afraid. This is rebellion." And then what's interesting is whenever they address this and they get to the concern, they tell them why it's such a problem. And they go back in history to two examples in history where problems were created that really caused a problem. One of them we read about in verse 17. "Is this the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? Therefore, there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord." Now, Peor was quite a place in their history. Peor was where the false prophet, or the prophet Balaam, tried to bring cursing, and God wouldn't let him bring cursing on the people of Israel. But the event that's described here was an event you read about in the book of Numbers. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, the people of Israel at Peor got involved immorally with the people of Moab. And God brought his judgment. So much so, when you read it, so much so that on that day, 24,000 people were killed. And there was one man, one of the priests, who on that day, there was a particular man that was a rebellious, outright rebellious man. And one man stands up and kills that man. Do you know what his name was? We just read about it in this chapter. His name, you'll notice, let's see if I can find it, because my mind just went blank. Right in front of you, my mind went blank. It's somewhere in there, and I just don't see it. Thank you, him. So, that was the man that stood up. And here's what the point of it is. We lost 24,000 people because of a sin against our God. We don't want that to happen again. And then the other example is chapter 22, verse 20. And this is one that happened just a few years before this. And did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing when in wrath fell upon the congregation of Israel? And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. And they knew the defeat. Not only did others suffer because of the sin of Achan, Achan's family. And they said, we don't want that to happen again. Now, question for you. Do you think that the tribes that are on the west of Jordan had a legitimate cause for concern? Did they have a legitimate cause for concern? Sure they did. Sure they did. And then, so you express your reason or the cause for the concern, but then would you do this? Would you make sure that you allow the other party to explain his or her side of the story? There are always, what do they say? There are always two sides to every story. And how many of you know that sometimes there's more to it than just those two sides? I don't know if you know this or not. People are complicated. Human relationships are complicated. Many facets. So before you let this conflict go any further, make sure you give the other party an opportunity to explain. And there, when the people on the east side of the Jordan River explained, wait a minute, no, this wasn't out of rebellion. This wasn't out of false worship. This wasn't trying to divide. What we were doing is we were concerned because as the generations go on, we don't want the people on your side of the Jordan to say, hey, listen, we're God's people, not you on the other side. We want our people to be one, united. And so we did this because we wanted to show that we were united with you and with the Lord. Proverbs 18:30, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. So make sure that you give the other party a chance to explain their side of the story. And when you do, you ask, what happened? What are we dealing with here? What are the facts? What are the actions that are done? Verse 10 was so clear that they built an altar by the Jordan, a great altar to see. So you're finding out what happened here, but then you ask another question, well, why did you do it? What's the motive? Why? And that's when the whole story became known. Oh, you mean you're not trying to be rebellious and divide our people? False? No. Their intention was to unite the people. Was it a good decision, do you think, to build an altar like that? That looked like the altar that was in Shiloh where the sacrifices were made? Probably not the best decision. They could have built just a stack of stones. They've done that before memorials. They could have done that. But they built an altar. Probably not the best decision. But did they have a wrong motive? Not at all. Not at all. And this nation almost goes to war. It was all averted when they asked some very poignant and helpful questions. So you have to really be honest about it. And let's deal with this. Did you hear about the lady that was arrested and hauled into court to face the charge of murder of her third husband? Did you hear about this lady? Well, the prosecutor took aim at this lady and said, the report says that your first husband died of mushroom poisoning. Is that true? Yes, sir. That's what he did, she replied. He goes on. Well, the report also says that your second husband died. How did that happen? She said, well, he died of mushroom poisoning. And your third husband, the report says he died of a blow to the head. How do you explain that? And without hesitating a moment, she said, he refused to eat the mushrooms. Well, at least she was honest, you know? At least she was honest. Wouldn't hurt any of us to be honest in a conflict. Then you resolve the concern. We read about that in verses 30 through 33. You come to an appropriate resolution. You come to a resolution appropriately. And you read, look in your Bible, verse 30, and when Phinehas, that's the guy we couldn't get earlier, the priests and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? They settled and said, hey, there's no need for us to go to war. And not only was there rejoicing because, hey, you weren't rebellious, but do you know what happened? We were ready to go to the war, and we were going to do something that was wrong, and we would have sinned against the Lord, and we would have been under God's judgment because we went to war whenever we didn't need to, on a false assumption. And how God has shown us himself. Wow, isn't that wonderful? So you come to a decision appropriately. You may or may not like all of it all the time. But you come to that appropriate decision. How many of you have ever been grateful that God kept you from really making a bad decision? Boy, yeah. And then when you deal with it wisely and appropriately, make sure you come to the resolution and you communicate it clearly. Okay. Here's what happened. Now we can go forward. So whenever you're done with that conflict and you're settling it, make sure whenever you come to that, to it, when it's done, make sure you are very clear. This is where we go from here. This is where it stands. Don't let it just fester and assume that it's all okay. What is going to happen next? What should we expect as we go forward? Clarifies a lot of questions and problems and confusion. And can I say, not only let all the parties know that are involved what's happening, which the people of Israel did in that day, if you happen to be that individual that unwisely has talked to all kinds of people about it, and then you realized, wait a minute, that wasn't the right thing to do, would you have the humility to go back to those people you talked about it with and say, you know, I told you about this. That wasn't the wisest thing. In fact, it was foolish. Here's what happened, and make sure you clarify the situation for that individual. How many of you know that you can really hurt people? So how about if you choose to do it wrong and you, well, I've got a course correct here, do all you can to go make it right. Don't need to hurt people. Don't need to hurt people. You say, but Pastor, that other person's not going to reconcile with me. Pastor, that individual will not acknowledge that they're wrong. That person isn't accepting any responsibility for themselves. That individual just justifies their actions. And I'm going to tell you that what the Apostle Paul wrote, Romans chapter 12, verse 18, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. You do all that you can to bring resolution. But regardless of what somebody else does, you do the right thing and let God deal with it when you cannot. Now that takes faith. And if you're an individual that really wants to get it nailed down, you've got such a sense of justice, and I've got to get this man, and you're going to have it. It takes as much faith for you to let God deal with it and let it be that you've done all you can, and just as it will for somebody just to even confront it in the first place. It's all a matter of faith, believing God that he can take care of it. There's something else that's wonderful when you deal with conflict God's way. And that is, make that conflict a point of blessing. And I love what happens on this. When they bring it all about, they verse 34, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, an altar with its own name. I like that name. Do you like that name? I don't know if I really like that name. But when you see, and the people of Israel see this, and they're on the one side of the Jordan, they look across, they see this altar. They're on the other side, they see the altar. And they say, oh, look there, there's Ed. Ed. Ed means witness. And when they look at it, they say, this is a witness that there was a time when we almost went to civil war. But God intervened and took what could have been disastrous and devastating, and he brought out of this conflict blessing. And in your life, you're going to have conflict along the way. But if you'll be willing to do it God's way, God will give you a bunch of Eds in your life. And all of us could use some more Eds in our life. And God will give you some Eds. And you'll say, you know, this could have been disastrous, but God helped me. This was difficult, but God helped me. I was so afraid of what would happen, and I believed God and did it God's way. And God took all of my fears and he brought out of it blessing. It's so hard to do. But I look back and I see how God worked to bring out of conflict blessing. And if you ever feel like there's no hope, my friend, you don't know my God. Because my God is a God that can take conflict and from that bring blessing. It may be that you are an individual and God is speaking to you about some conflict. There are some people in your life. Maybe they're from the past. Maybe it's something right now in your life. And the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to you about going to those people and dealing with the conflict. Takes faith. God will help you. God will help you. Some people, some problems that need to be dealt with. And then there's one other problem that only Christ can solve, to bring reconciliation to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that we are reconciled through Christ, the God-man coming from eternity of heaven to become man in human, or God in human form, giving himself as a sacrifice, resurrected with life, so that you can be reconciled to God. And the Apostle Paul says in that passage, be ye reconciled to God. Today's a day for you to be reconciled. If you've never come by faith to Jesus, to be reconciled to God. Would you stand with me, please?